26. Philip had always been a morning person, but Todd's quest was helping him get over that. It had shown him that what he had always perceived as the promise of a new day could also be taken as a threat. Philip sat up, grudgingly admitting to himself that he was awake. The night air had been frigid. The ground was lumpy with rocks. His bedroll and all the bits of him that were exposed were covered with cold, clammy dew, part of the Scapa's ongoing attempt to give life just enough of a foothold to keep suffering. His arm hurt like hell, there was no denying that. This had been his first attempt to sleep with his arm broken and in a sling, and it had not gone well. He would have been willing to bet that he hadn't slept at all, if not for two things. He did not remember seeing the sunrise, and somehow the pen with the note wrapped around it had found its way into his sling without him knowing it. Taking care not to look down at the note, Philip mimed using his good hand to adjust his sling while slowly unrolling the note into the hand of his broken arm. It had all of the hastily scribbled messages he'd remembered. At the bottom, in Jimmy's neat script, there was the single word, over, and an arrow. Philip flipped the scrap of paper over, rolled his eyes, and read Jimmy's contribution.
Gentlemen, I'm sure you know the game Rock, Paper, Scissors. Two players each pick whether to play rock, paper, or scissors, as each choice beats one of the others and is beaten by the third. People think it's a game of chance, but they're wrong. The key to winning is to get good at predicting what your opponent is likely to choose. Todd thinks he's clever, but he isn't. Someone who makes no pretense at being clever will just do what you expect them to do. Someone who's truly clever is unpredictable. Someone who thinks they're clever will do the opposite of what you expect them to do. Also, in rock, paper, scissors, if you watch your opponent's hand, they'll often make their hand signal a fraction of a second before they should, giving you the advantage. Todd wants to kill us, but he thinks he's clever, so he'll try to do it cleverly. So he'll try to trick us into killing ourselves. I say, our best plan is to keep our eyes open for him to tip his hand, and if he tells us to do something, we do the opposite. Jay.
Philip looked up from the note, grimacing.
Brilliant, he thought. Keep our eyes open and don't do what he tells us. We certainly couldn't have come up with that. Of course, we didn't come up with that. The best plan we came up with was to ask Jimmy, wasn't it?
Philip's grimace did not fade. He hunched over, as if fighting back the pain from his arm, and in the limited free space at the bottom of the page, he wrote,
T. Any more paper? P.
After their customary breakfast of wolf jerky and grumbling, they got underway. Philip continued to walk in the lead while the others followed, taking great care in transporting the Mobius blade without losing any digits or blood. None of them grumbled about Philip not helping with the blade, partly because they wouldn't want to trade places with him, since that would mean walking through the desert with a freshly broken arm, and partly because they all understood that having someone who was in some way impaired try to help bear the blade would be a grave danger to the other bearers. The last thing any of them wanted to hear was any of the others saying, oops? The low, undulating hills of the Scapa continued, though Philip thought they were beginning to flatten out a bit. When you spend a long time in the same environment, your mind starts noticing even the slightest variation. Just ask anyone who's ever driven across Texas. The monotony of the same rolling hills, punctuated with the occasional attack from what was essentially the same wolf, was taking a toll on all of their minds, so much so that when there was something genuinely of interest to look at, they took it for an optical illusion at first. As he crested a hill, Philip saw in the distance what appeared to be a few spots of a slightly different shade of very dark brown, which in the Scapa constituted scenery. Many steps later, as they crested another hill, it became obvious that the discoloration was a continuous line running parallel to the horizon, a very long way away. The more they walked, and the more hills they summited, the more definite the line became. Philip had been debating whether to say anything to the others. He suspected they were too focused on their footing and trying not to decapitate each other to have noticed the unusual geography of the path ahead. The decision to tell the others came quickly when Philip finally realized what he was looking at. Philip said,
"Better hold up, guys. Chasm."
The others stopped.
"I'm sorry," Jimmy said. "What?"
"See that line up ahead?"
Philip asked, pointing with his good arm.
"I've been watching it for a while. I figure it's the far rim of a canyon, or a valley, or a chasm."
Tyler finished for him. Gary swallowed hard and said,
"The chasm of certain doom."
"Yes,"
Tyler said.
"Thanks for spelling that out. I'd worried that this would be some other less dependable doom chasm before we got to the chasm of certain doom. The chasm of possible doom. Something like that."
Gary muttered, "Yeah, sorry."
"The big cartoony gulp was a nice touch,"
Tyler continued.
"It's a shame we don't have a spooky organ to play or a big metal sheet to make some fake thunder every time you say that."
Gary mumbled,
"I said I'm sorry."
Philip peeled his eyes away from the chasm in the distance to look back at his cohorts.
"Okay, guys, there's no need to argue."
Now Gary raised his voice.
"I'm not arguing. I'm apologizing and getting insulted. That's not arguing, is it? Is it, Philip?"
"You're arguing now."
"Well, now, yeah, over the idea that I was arguing, but I wasn't arguing then when you accused me of arguing."
"Okay," Philip said. "I get it."
I don't even know why I was apologizing. All I said was that it was the chasm of certain doom.
They were all startled out of their bickering by the deafening noise of an eerie organ and fake-sounding thunder. Tyler looked toward the heavens and said,
"Well done. That was fast work."
No chat window opened, but they heard the click of a microphone opening up. Then Todd's voice said,
"Thank you."